All right, Brian, the last facet of the game that we're going to talk about here is going to be keys for the defense, which this has been the matchup that everybody's talking about, that high-powered Ohio State receiving core and the big play Ohio State offense versus a really stingy, very selfish, and I say that as a compliment, a very stingy, very selfish Notre Dame defense. So, Brian, getting things kicked off here for us, key number one, what does Notre Dame's defense have to do to win this football game?
Well, according to the national media, pray a lot, but no, I'm just kidding. Shut down the run game. I mean, look, we've talked about this before, Trev. Ohio State is going to get – they're going to get someone in the pass game. They're going to hit some plays in the pass game. When they become really incredibly hard to stop is when there's balance there. When they're able to kind of gash you with the run and rip off, you know, it's like they're hitting you with the pass game and all of a sudden 8-yard run, 12-yard run, 15-yard run, and they're just gashing you at the pass game. And the first two keys are going to kind of go together, but the first one is simple. Just make them one-dimensional. You're going to have a much better shot at stopping their passing game if you're dominating their run game with your box. That means a great performance from the D-line. That means great performance from the linebackers, you know, that are defending the run. You know, tackling well is a big key. We're going to talk about that in multiple points in this game, you know, but that's going to be key. Gap discipline is going to be huge. They had some gap integrity issues against Penn State that caused some of those stretch cutbacks. You're going to have to be really disciplined with how you attack them. Those are all going to be keys to this game. You've got to be able to shut down the run. When you look at Ohio State this year, Trev, when their offense has struggled, you know, well, actually, don't even have to just look at this year. A lot of different years. When their offense struggles, a lot of times it's because their run game doesn't do a whole lot. You know, they struggled running the ball consistently against Oregon. They ran for 141 yards, 4.3 per carry. And that includes your running back getting shut down on a 4th-and-1. You know, when you look at the Penn State game, they ran for 176 yards. That number got really boosted by that final game-winning drive where they had over 50 rushing yards. But prior to that, they hadn't ran the ball all that well, which is why the game was close. Now, their run game stepped up late and helped them put that game away. But, you know, Indiana, the offense didn't perform very well. They had 115 rushing yards. Michigan, the offense didn't perform very well. You had 77 rushing yards. I've heard people say the reason you didn't run the ball very well against Texas is because of the penalties. I don't know what penalties have to do with the fact that you only averaged 3.4 yards per carry and ran for 81 yards. I mean, look, yeah, okay, the volume number may be impacted by the penalties because you found yourself in more passing situations. But the fact is when you ran the ball, you weren't overly effective. Same thing last year against Missouri in the loss. They ran for 97 yards, 2.9 per carry. And the loss to Michigan, 107 yards, 3.8 per carry. They ran for 126 against Notre Dame. That was it. And they did have that 160-yard run, right? Shut them down outside of that. So, you know, it's kind of been the thing for them. I mean, the loss to Georgia in 2022, they ran for 119 yards. And what was it? After Marvin got knocked out of that game, they were a lot more beatable because they could then, okay, now we need to shut down Emeka and keep this guy from going off. But, you know, because Jackson was out. Remember, he hadn't really come back at that point in time. But they couldn't run the ball. In that late game situation, they couldn't run the ball. And that really hurt them. They couldn't really run the ball against Michigan that year in a loss. I mean, so when you look at Ohio State last several years, the loss to Michigan in 2021, they ran the ball for 64 yards. Earlier that year, a game they struggled to beat Nebraska, they ran for 90 yards. Their loss to Oregon at the beginning of that year, they ran for 128 yards. So, I mean, this has been true for a long time. If you can make Ohio State one-dimensional, you got a shot. If they come out balanced, you have zero shot to shut them down. Now you better hope you can win a shootout. So shutting down a run game is key number one.
Yeah, the way that I look at this, Brian, is I'm going to sound like a broken record here, but the same way that I looked at the Notre Dame-USC game in 2022. They had Caleb Williams. Most likely he was going to win the Heisman Trophy. He was going to get his plays, right? He was going to go and wreak havoc, and he's going to make passing plays down the field, and he was going to run around the backfield and make people miss. You could not let USC establish any sort of ground game. And so what happened? Austin Jones goes for a 154 on 25 carries, averages 6.2 yards per carry. That's the issue. Ohio State is a much more balanced offense than what people think. Surprise, surprise, offenses are much more dangerous when they're able to run the football, to the surprise of not a lot of people, at least in this chat, right? And for all of the, you know, you have Emeka Egbuka and Jeremiah Smith and Carnell Tate and Brandon Ennis. Yeah, they have all those, and they're great weapons.
Big time.
Ohio State is most dangerous when they're able to run the football. Last year against Notre Dame, because I've been hearing a lot of it, right? You might be able to stop Jeremiah. Egbuka's going to go off. He went off last year against Notre Dame. He had 9 catches for 91 yards. They scored 17 points and got their 17th point on the last offensive play of the football game, right? And so it's just, look, when you're able to run the football, you are able to eat more time off the clock. You're able to remain balanced. Play action becomes a lot more. So Notre Dame emphasis to stop the run game is going to be huge. It's going to have to be. Look what happened with Georgia. You know, Gunnar Stockton passed for 234 yards, didn't throw an interception, threw a touchdown pass. He had a big play to Arian Smith. The game changer for that one was they allowed 62 rushing yards. They were very stingy at the line of scrimmage. They were very stout at the line of scrimmage. And so for me, could not agree more. Key number one is stopping the run. Mm-hmm. And like you said, key number two kind of feeds into how to get this offense off balance. Yeah. How to, despite their fantastic weapons on the perimeter, what are other ways to neutralize them outside of just playing lockdown man coverage, Brian? What do you got?
Well, yeah, which is apparently, you know, Notre Dame does 99% of the time. False. But look, the second part of it, Trevor, is these things usually go hand in hand. When your rush defense is good, you're usually pretty good at getting pressure on the quarterback. And that's going to be a big part of this game as well, is you've got to be really good getting after the quarterback. You know, Notre Dame defensive line dominated Georgia's line of scrimmage against the run. And guess what? They also dominated in the pass game and were able to get pressure in some big moments in that game. I mean, even the big play to Arian Smith, Gunnar Stockton got drilled on that play. I mean, just Drake Bowen lit him up on that particular play. So, you know, those things tend to go hand in hand, Trev. When they're shutting down the opposition run game, they're going to have to quarterback. They couldn't shut down Northern Illinois' run game. We talked about that. They had 0 sacks in that game. You know, that's going to be a big key in this game, is you've got to be able to put pressure on the quarterback. And you've got to, I mean, and my initial key, as you remember when I sent you the rough draft is rough draft of the keys to victory. It was initially going to be dominate the line of scrimmage. Yeah. But I really felt it was important to separate those two and make them separate points. Now they do go together. If you dominate the run game, because a lot of the things that Al Golden does schematically to shut down, to get after the quarterback, are also designed to be things that are, you know, going to disrupt whatever you're doing on first and second down. And, you know, if they're handing the ball off, those things are meant to push the line back and shut down the run game and not give the back running lanes. If they're throwing the ball, those things are meant to continue through the line of scrimmage into the quarterback. And so harassing Will Howard is going to be a huge, huge key in this game. And it can't just be a play here, a play there. It's got to be consistent. They actually didn't do a great job of getting after Drew Aller consistently, especially in the first half. They were able to do some things to get him, you know, out of rhythm. They could cover the receivers a little bit more effectively. You're not going to want to give Will Howard the kind of time you gave Drew Aller in the first half of that game, because he'll hurt you more, because he's got more weapons in the pass game. So that's going to have to be a big key. And when you think about the USC offense last year that everybody raved about, and it was a great offense, but it wasn't that they covered USC's receivers all day. They did a very good job in coverage in that game. It was Caleb Williams was never comfortable in that game, ever. And you ate him up, and it forced him into not just the turnovers, but it also forced him into a lot of incompletions and second and long and third and longs and things like that. And it forced them to, you know, it seemed like every time he dropped back to throw a first down, he was either getting sacked or throwing it away. And now that puts you in second and 10, and now your run game's not as big of a factor. So those things go kind of hand in hand, but you've got to harass Will Howard all day. Like most quarterbacks, if you're getting on him and you're pressuring him and you've sped up his internal clock, he's going to make mistakes. Mistakes are not just interceptions. They're also about missing open receivers. You know, like, hey, boy, if the quarterback would have seen him, he's open. Why didn't he see him? Because he didn't have time to get there. Or missing an open receiver. Like, there was a play against Florida State where I think it was Rod Heard got beat on a corner route for what should have been a big play. And the quarterback missed him. Well, why did he miss him? No, it was Indiana. Why did he miss him? Because Curtis Work was just completely uncomfortable in the pocket that game and just harass in the pocket that game. And so those are all things you look at, Trevin, and you're like, that those are things where you've got to get after him early and often. Part of that's the pressure. The other part of that is doing what you do when it comes to disguising coverages. Make Will Howard think he's seeing one thing, and then you give him something different. And that's something Notre Dame has done all year. When their defense is on, the quarterback doesn't really know where the ball is going to go.
Yeah, Notre Dame has done a really good job all year of harassing different quarterbacks. And like a lot of other quarterbacks, Will Howard becomes significantly less efficient when he's pressured, right? And that's not specific to him, but it's true. You go through and it's not a mystery to me that he became less of an efficient passer against Texas than he was in the first two playoff games because he was pressured. He ended up throwing an interception. Yes, I know he threw an interception in the Tennessee game. That one was a little fluky to me, in all honesty. The interception against Texas was bad. He was pressured. He started to get pressured. And so for me, that's a big difference maker. He was sacked zero times against Tennessee and Oregon, and he was sacked twice against Texas. Offense ends up putting up 21 points. He tried to force a ball to Jeremiah Smith over the middle of the field. It gets intercepted. I don't really think that it's that much of a mystery, right? So pressuring Will Howard is going to be huge, just like it was getting pressure on Gunnar Stockton, just like it was pressuring Drew Aller. And pressure can come in all different shapes and sizes, right? And so it's, again, Jalen Snead had a fantastic pressure on Penn State's last, on that interception play, right? Jalen Snead comes in, gets a hand in Drew Aller's face. Drew Aller said that he was trying to dirt it. And I honestly don't think that that was a lie. Jalen Snead ran in, hands up. He had to get the ball over him so it wasn't batted at the line of scrimmage. And then Christian Gray made a heck of a play on the ball, ends up in an interception, right? And so good things happen when Notre Dame pressures opposing quarterbacks, because a lot of people hear, how do you shut down a passing attack? And a lot of people just immediately go to, well, what's your cornerback room look like? Can your corners stop these receivers? It's like, it's twofold, right? It's also pressuring the quarterback. It's winning in the front four. It's bringing well-timed pressures. It's also coverage, right? But there's a lot of people that thinks, well, Notre Dame is not going to be able to stop Ohio State's passing attack because you can't cover Jeremiah Smith and Igbuka and Carnell Tate for 5-6 seconds. It's like, well, I don't know if there's a secondary in the NFL that can cover somebody for 5 to 6 seconds. Right. But if you can generate pressure, that is a huge leading factor in it.
Right. I mean, look at the Michigan game. I mean, he goes 19 of 33, 5.3 yards per attempt. Mm-hmm. Michigan didn't have Will Johnson in that game. That secondary couldn't hold a candle to Notre Dame's secondary based on all the injuries they have. Now, if they were 100% healthy, that's a really good secondary. Still not as good as Notre Dame's. You look at the Indiana game, you see 22 of 26 for 84.6 completion rate, and you're like, that's a pretty good day. Not really. It's a lot of checkdowns, a lot of quick throws. He only threw for 201 yards, 7.7 yards per attempt. There's been other games like that. Penn State only threw for 182 yards, 7.6 per attempt. I mean, if that's his numbers at the end of the day, I don't care what his completion percentage is. Take all those little 3-4 yard checkdowns you want. The key in this game is going to be keeping that yards per attempt number down. Sometimes it's a completion, but it's a check down. And they hit a couple big plays in the pass game. And we'll get to that here in a minute, but they're going to get a couple big plays, but you've got to harass him to where he's also going to have a lot of misses. And those big plays are negated by your own big plays on defense. And that's going to be a big, big part of this game. It's just don't let him get comfortable. When he's rolling, when he's feeling good, he's going to get that out at 70% completion. It's 9-10 plus yards per attempt. And you're going to get in trouble there. That's a long day there. This is where you got to get it. You got to force them into mistakes.
Another good segue into what your third point is, Brian, and you started to hint around it a little bit. Let's blow the doors off this thing, man. What's your third key for Notre Dame's defense?
Well, my third key, Trev, is you got to limit the big plays. Ohio State's going to get some big plays. They just are. That's okay. You've just got to – two things about it. Number one is when they get their big plays, you've got to make sure that they're not touchdowns, number one. And then the other part is you just got to not let them have that many. I mean, look, they gave up a 60-yard touchdown run last year to Travion Henderson. That was really the only huge, huge play they had in that game. And so you've got to obviously limit that and keep that in check and be able to have some success limiting those big plays. They're going to hit a deep ball to Jeremiah Smith. They're going to probably hit one. The way Notre Dame plays defense, they're going to hit one. Might hit a couple. you got to limit them. Means, you know, being smart in coverage. And if they beat you, make them beat you with a great throw and great catch. And that's the thing that happened against Louisville is Louisville beat Notre Dame several times down the field on big plays, but they were always, he got hit and then boom, he was getting tackled because it had to be a, it had to be a great throw. You know, it had to be a perfect throw. And so they weren't catching runs that went for six and then Notre Dame was able to keep the points down. And the same thing is going to be true here is they're going to hit a couple, but when he catches it, make him, you know, knock him out of bounds. And, you know, if they're at their own 20 and they hit a 50-yard bomb, you know, they're still at the 30. They're still barely in field goal range, right? Don't give up a whole lot after that. But if they, you know, hit a bomb and then he keeps going and next thing you know, it's a 70-yard touchdown, that's how you get yourself beat. And so that's going to be a big key is limiting the big plays. And then when they do have those big plays, just don't let them be scoring plays. That's going to be a big part of this game, Trev. Because like I said, Notre Dame the last 2 years has done a great job of keeping Ohio State's points down. Gave up 21 2 years ago, gave up 17 last year. But they still hit big plays. I mean, their first touchdown last year was, I think it was a Mecca. Catches a little outcut, and Cam Hart undercuts the route, doesn't play it properly, doesn't go over top. Guy catches it, Cam misses him, boom, up the sideline for a big play. Can't allow plays like that to happen. You know, they had the other, another touchdown they had in that game was that, you know, the, you get into a bad spot, you bring a double safety blitz, the play after your nickel goes down, and they have to call, you know, there's timeout, and they beat you for a big, you know, big touchdown pass, like 20-some yards, but it was still a big play. You know, those things, you can't have those, right? You give up the 60-yard touchdown pass to or touchdown run to Trayvon Henderson last year. You had a misfit by your linebacker. Well, that's what Ohio State can do to you, just like Notre Dame's backs can do to you. If you have a misfit at linebacker against Trayvon Henderson, he can go. He can house it, just like Jeremiah Love and Jadarian Price and Aeneas Williams can do, right? I mean, that's the thing is you can't have those mistakes. And then you have to tackle well in space. I know, Trev, that's a big one for you is if – you can't let a 5-yard gain turn into a 40-yard gain. You can't let a 15-yard catch turn into a 30-yard catch and run. You have to be great tacklers. They were phenomenal tacklers against Georgia. They were great tacklers against Indiana when it mattered. They were not great tacklers against Penn State in the first half. Much better in the second half.
Yeah.
You can't let that happen. Can't let that happen.
Yeah, I mean, they had 4 missed tackles all game against Georgia. They had 15 against Penn State. Tackle, tackle, tackle. I mean, you go through and you look at Trayvon Henderson's screen pass that he took to the house at the end of the first half. Texas defenders had an opportunity to tackle him. They just didn't, right? Some of that is because it was a really, really good play by Trayvon. The blocking was perfectly executed. You know, the screen pass timed up really well, and Trayvon's an explosive back. So I don't want to take away what his big play ability is. But it's not like he was untouched for 75 yards. They had opportunities to make stops, and they didn't. You know, limiting big plays, I go through, and I think of some of the plays that Notre Dame has allowed this postseason, right? You have when Christian Gray was flat-footed against Arian Smith, the fastest person maybe outside of Leonard Moore on that football field, right? Can't play him flat-footed. You had that touchdown to Cash Jones that Georgia had. Just a wheel route out of the backfield. Drake Bowen turned him loose. You know, you think of the wheel route to Isaac Brown, the Louisville game, their first touchdown of the game. Jack Kaiser turned him loose. He was late to do it. Look, I'm not expecting Notre Dame's linebackers to be just sticky man-on coverage on some of these explosive guys. But look, if a running back is going to be turned loose, yeah, I have a lot more confidence that Trayvon or a Quinshon Judkins is going to go up and make a catch uncontested versus if there's somebody there with a hand in his face. Not saying that he can't. I just know that the odds of making one of those catches is significantly higher than the other one, right? So limiting big plays is going to be huge. Tackling is going to have to be a must. Notre Dame, outside of that Penn State game and a little bit for the USC game, has been a very good open field tackling team. Leonard Moore has been a very good tackler in space, and he wasn't that great against Penn State, especially in the first half. Right. So there's going to be some things that have to get cleaned up. Jordan Clark, he's been a great open field tackler all season long. With how much Ohio State moves their receivers around the field, he's going to have to continue that because it's an offense loaded with people that can turn 5-yard plays into 20, 30, depending on who it is, they can take it the entire way. So you can't turn people loose. You have to be disciplined in coverage and you have to tackle well in this football game. Brian, moving along here to your fourth point, to our fourth point of what Notre Dame's defense has to do to win this football game. What do you got?
got to dominate on third down. Now, there's a lot that goes into dominating on third down. It's early down success, right? Putting them in a lot of third and longs. But even last year, they put Ohio State in several third and long-ish type of plays, and they converted. And it reinforced you because, like, one thing I've said is I don't know that you can rely on just getting a bunch of goal line stands against Ohio State like they did last year. I don't know you want to put yourself – this is a different offense. It's a better offense than it was last year. You've got to tackle better, and you've got to be better on third down. And in a lot of these, tackling well is going to be an important piece to a lot of these keys, Trev. But you've got to get them in a lot of third mediums to third and longs, and then when you get them in those situations, you need stops. Like a lot of this, we talk about shutting them down, getting after Howard, limiting big plays, dominating on third down. A lot of it comes into getting Ohio State out of rhythm. And that's true for any offense, right? I've coached on some great offensive football teams, and when we struggled for and it was always different reasons, but we just couldn't get into a flow. Just couldn't get into a rhythm, or whether it was a team playing aggressive coverages that didn't allow us to kind of get into our routes, or they were getting pressure off the quarterback so we couldn't get into our route packages, and so we had to alter how we did, or couldn't get the run game going and put us in a lot of tough situations, or, you know, we'd have some silly negatives. You know, you'd get some holding calls, some false start, some sort of illegal shift, something that gets you in a bad spot. You know, you just want to get them out of rhythm. You get into a funk, and then sometimes it can be hard to get out of that funk, and even a big play can happen. Georgia hit a couple big plays against Notre Dame, but they couldn't get into a rhythm against Notre Dame, and that's why Notre Dame completely shut them down. So same thing against Indiana. I mean, Indiana hit a couple big plays before Xavier Watts' interception. You give a big play down the field to Elijah Surratt for a big gain. All right, cool, that's going to happen. It wasn't a scoring play. He had to make a great catch, and then the next play, they get after Curtis Work, and he throws an interception. You know, so a lot of this is just getting them out of their rhythm. Get them out of 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 rhythm. And if you can do that, then you dominate on third down. And that's going to be a big, big key for Notre Dame. If they were better on third down last year, they win that football game. I mean, just look at the last drive alone. Give up a fourth down conversion. You give up a third and 19. Make stops in those situations. In either one of those situations, if Ramon Henderson plays that ball correctly on that seam route, it's fourth and 19. I like Notre Dame's chances there.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Well, you go through and you break down from a statistical standpoint, Brian, to add some numbers to back what you're talking about here. If there is one advantage that Notre Dame has on Ohio State, it's their third down numbers, right? Ohio State's the 57th best team in the country at converting third downs. Like, if there's one glaring thing that their offense doesn't do overly well, it's that. It's sustaining drives. Notre Dame's defense has been really, really, really good on third down this season. They're number five in the country in getting off the field on third down. And it's going to be huge. You know, third down key football situation is going to be massive. Why was the Georgia game so lopsided? It's because Georgia went, 2 of 14 on third down? I think something crazy like that. So they weren't able to sustain drives.
2 of 12.
2 of 12. Thank you. Georgia went 2 of 12. They went 0 of 2 on fourth down. They went, you know, so you go through and you
– Well, and Notre Dame wasn't a whole lot better
in
that game, Trev. They went 4 of 14.
Mm-hmm.
But what was Notre Dame able to do? They were able to have more big plays.
Yep.
Right? Kick return, Riley's long run, turnovers, all that other stuff. Right? But they but it kept Georgia from ever getting into any kind of rhythm. Even when they did a couple big plays, they couldn't get into any kind of rhythm.
Prize Picks is the best place to get real money sports action. With over 10 million members and billions of dollars in awarded winnings, Prize Picks has made daily fantasy sports accessible to all. You just pick more or less on at least two players for a shot to win up to 1,000 times your cash. Run your game all season long on Prize Picks. It's playoff time and it's now or never. Don't miss out on the last few weeks of football action with Prize Picks. The best place to win cash while watching the playoffs. You can now win up to 1,000 times your money on Prize Picks. Prize Picks now offers MasterCard for quick and easy deposits into your account this sports season. This week on Prize Picks, I'm looking at the football board and selected Jared Goff for more than 230 passing yards and Saquon Barkley for more than one touchdown. Travis Kelce for more than 70 yards receiving, and Lamar Jackson for more than 250 passing yards. Download the app today and use code IRISH to get $50 instantly after you play your first $5 lineup. Download the app today and use code IRISH to get $50 instantly after you play your first $5 lineup. Prize Picks. Run your game.
The final key for us here, Brian, for Notre Dame to do what they need to on defense on Monday night to bring home their first national championship since 1988. What do you got? What's your final key for this one, Brian?
You've got to hold them to field goals, not touchdowns. And this, a lot of this ties into it. Look, Ohio State's going to move the ball. You're not going to completely shut down this offense. You're not going to hold them to, you know, 215 yards of offense. I don't see that. Not on this stage. I just don't see them having that type of struggle on offense. You know, they're not going to look like they did against Michigan. They're not. This is a different environment, different game, different moment. I think they overlooked Michigan a lot in that game, honestly, because Michigan stunk. They're going to bring their A game as best they can. They're going to hit some big plays. You got to be great in the red zone. And, you know, Trev, you talk about, you know, areas where Notre Dame is good and Ohio State's not. Well, there's some areas where both of them are good. And you've got to be even better. And this to me is kind of that area. I mean, when you look at Ohio State's red zone offense, they're the number three red zone touchdown offense in college football. When you look at Notre Dame's red zone defense, they're the number 31 red zone defense in the country. But as we've talked about, if you look at what the starting defense's red zone production is, they're top 10. And that's what we've seen. And so you got to be great there. They were not great there against Penn State last week to be honest with you. They had a huge play on first and goal at the one, and that forced second and goal at the one. Excuse me. Josh Burnham makes a big play, but then on the next play, you turn Nicholas Singleton wide open. If it's not for Drew Howard throwing a bad ball, it's 7-0 right there. You can't have those type of mental lapses. You've got to be great in the red zone. And when they do get in the red zone, hold them to field goals. Don't give up touchdowns. That's going to be a huge, huge key, because part of beating a team on this level, and this is true for both teams, is don't let them be great at the things they're great at. Well, a big key to Ohio State's success is if they get in the red zone, they're getting a touchdown. That's just kind of what they've done all year. You've got to be better than them in that regard. And that's my final key.
Yeah. Well, you brought it up earlier about the SEC championship game. Why was Georgia able to hang around? It's because they forced field goals, not touchdowns. Right. I mean, coming back, when you hear that, you know, Texas's offense rattled off three straight scores, and it's like, oh man, what is it? 9-0. That's a lot more attainable than 21-0. Right. I mean, that's even more attainable than 17-0. Mm-hmm. You know, and so that's what can keep teams in games, is depending on which side of the ball you're on, field goals are either going to be a win or a loss. Now, mm-hmm. If Notre Dame is forced to kick a field goal, like we learned in the Penn State game, make them execute, right? Notre Dame's special teams unit for field goal kicking in the offseason has been spectacular. But Notre Dame's defense is going to have to do their part in if Ohio State is able to drive the ball down the field. I won't even say if, when. If we're talking about Ohio State not even being able to move the ball on Notre Dame, this game will not be close. I don't predict it to be that way. Right. This is a really good offense going against a really good defense. But Ohio State's going to get theirs. They're going to move the ball down the field. Once they get inside of the 20, forcing field goals is going to be huge. It's going to have to be. So I agree. All right, guys. Well, that's going to do it for the defensive portion of this. But don't go anywhere. We are going to wrap this all up. We're going to tie it in a bow, and we're going to give our game predictions, our score predictions, how we see it playing out, hand out a couple of game balls, and we're going to get everybody out of here. But before we do that, be sure to hit that like button, hit that subscribe button, hit that notification bell, share this podcast with your friends and family, anybody that you know loves Notre Dame and college football as much as you do. And of course, subscribe to the premium message boards at boards.irishbreakdown.com.